morning. This is Wyoming Debrief from Wyoming Public Radio News. It's Friday, March 13th. I'm Charles Pelkey with these news updates from around Wyoming. The nation's ground-based nuclear deterrent system is getting a massive overhaul. That includes F.E. Warren Air Force Base in Cheyenne. Wyoming News Now's Grace Swanky covered a ribbon cutting at the new Sentinel Task Force facility building. She spoke with Brigadier General William Rogers.
Sentinel is the weapon system planned to replace the aging Minuteman III intercontinental ballistic missile system. The U.S. Air Force says it represents the modernization of the land-based leg of the U.S. nuclear triad and would extend its capabilities through 2075.
The work here done at places like F.E. Warren is the foundation for our nation's defense. It is our true strategic deterrence.
The facility will bring together operators, the activation team, civil engineers, and every player involved in getting Sentinel fielded in the most effective way possible. F.E. Warren's facility will act as the model for bases in Montana and North Dakota. I'm Grace Swanky, Wyoming News Now.
Wyoming Senate President Beau Biteman of Ranchester has announced a run for Congress. He has served in the Wyoming legislature since 2017, 1 year in the House and the rest in the Senate. Before that, Biteman worked in the oil and gas industry for more than 20 years. In Biteman's campaign announcement, he said he will fight to protect Wyoming's fossil fuel and nuclear energy industries. He also lists Wyoming's outdoor heritage, Second Amendment rights, agriculture, veterans, protecting the unborn, and conservative leadership as his main issues. Biteman says he stands with President Trump. He'll square off against at least four other Republicans at the primary election on August 18th. The number of rural livestock veterinarians in the U.S. is shrinking, and in Wyoming, nine counties are in real need. As Wyoming Public Radio's Caitlin Tan reports, the state set aside funding for solutions.
The University of Wyoming doesn't have a veterinary school, and current exchange programs to other universities don't always prioritize livestock care. Plus, students still pay the bulk of tuition and aren't required to return to work in Wyoming. Jenny Bloomquist with the Wyoming Veterinary Medical Association says that's a problem.
I get calls almost weekly from veterinarians who are in their 70s saying, I need to retire and I cannot find veterinarians to come to my area.
So Bloomquist pushed for about $500,000 in this year's state budget. The details are still in the works, but it'll likely fund the majority of tuition for five students to study large animal care in Kansas or Utah. After graduating, they'll have to work in Wyoming for 4 years. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Caitlin Tan.
Whooping cough is going around the state. That has Wyoming health officials on alert. Wyoming Public Radio's Hannah Haberman has more.
There's been 26 confirmed cases of whooping cough so far this year. Roughly two-thirds of those have been in Fremont County. The illness starts off like a typical cold, with a mild cough. But after a week or two, that mild cough becomes persistent, violent, and potentially deadly for babies. Wyoming logged nearly 150 cases last year. That's the highest count in over 70 years. The state's health officer says getting the adolescent and adult whooping cough booster vaccine is especially important for people spending time with new infants. And staying up to date on that vaccine will likely help symptoms be less severe if you do catch the illness. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Hannah Haberman.
Reliable high-speed internet is still out of reach for many tribal communities. A new report highlights ongoing barriers to broadband access in Indian Country. For the Mountain West News Bureau, Daniel Spaulding has more.
The report from the Urban Institute says many indigenous communities lack reliable high-speed internet, especially in rural areas. Recent federal investments have helped expand broadband in some tribal communities, but gaps remain. Tommy Reininger is a co-author of the report.
In certain parts of the country, especially in Indian Country and a lot of rural communities, folks have a lot less access to high-speed broadband than other parts of the U.S.
The Urban Institute's Gabe Samuel says geography is one of the biggest challenges.
Because of, you know, the historic way where a lot of tribes were relocated, they're often, you know, located in maybe more remote rural areas that are physically harder to access. It's just kind of compounds the challenge to accessing.
Reininger and Samuels both say allowing tribes to manage their own broadband infrastructure will be key to improving access. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Daniel Spaulding.
A brush fire driven by high winds southwest of Laramie caused evacuations and burned about 32 acres yesterday afternoon. Evacuations due to the Gabriel Sun fire were lifted a bit before 7 last evening. The Albany County Sheriff's Office posted on Facebook that no structures were lost except for a poor trampoline that decided to take a little adventure. Several other small fires popped up around Wyoming under red flag and high wind warnings across the state. And here's Ivy Engel with a lighter look at Wyoming news.
This is Around Wyoming. Here are some stories from around the state. Jackson Ski Ambassadors are doing their best to fill the shoes and honor the memory of the first ambassador of Teton Pass. The Jackson Hole News and Guide reports Jay Pistono was a well-known guardian of the pass and those who chose to ski there until he died last fall. Now, the ambassador program has expanded its training and is paying its volunteers, and each is helping out in jackets with Ski the Jay Way emblazoned on the hood. Stickers and signs with the slogan are also in the works. A Kemmer man has done something few travelers have. The Kemmer Gazette reports Zachary Adam Carlisle watched the movie Quigley Down Under when he was 10. Then and there, he decided he was going to emulate Quigley, who was from Wyoming, and travel the world. Starting at 19, he visited all 50 states in the same vehicle, has been to all 7 continents, and touched all 5 oceans. He carried a state flag with him and has signatures from across the world on it. Mount of Olives Lutheran Church in Rollins just celebrated 50 years. Congratulations! And, according to DualBits, Wyoming is the 14th most likely state to be contacted by aliens in the country. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Ivy Engel.
And here's today's Wyoming trivia question. We all know that Wyoming has 23 counties. How did those counties get a number assigned to their license plates? Send us your answer to wyomingdebrief@gmail.com or by message on Instagram or Facebook, and we'll give a shout out to the first person with the correct answer. As for yesterday's trivia question, what is the grizzly bear population in Wyoming? The grizzly population has recovered significantly from as few as 136 in 1975 to an estimated 1,080 these days, with around 200 new cubs born each year. Of course, most of those bears live in Yellowstone. That, by the way, compares to Alaska's 30,000 grizzlies. Congratulations to James Summers, who was the first to submit the correct answer. Well, that's it for today. Thank you for joining me, Charles Pelkey, on Wyoming Debrief this morning. Have a great, albeit windy, weekend, and join us again on Monday.